God defends the faithful. We've been talking about faithfulness this month, and that it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So we're going to read about Moses and a story that happened with Moses and his older sister and brother. And so we're going to be reading in Numbers chapter 12. But I just want you to remember this, because this is something that we all need to remember. And if we will let God defend us, he will. Sometimes we're so busy defending ourselves that we don't give him a chance to defend us. And he is much better at it than we are. And so Numbers 12, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. So if you want to stand for that. It says, "Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, 'Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?' And the Lord heard," or the Lord heard it. Okay, you can be seated. Now, it says clearly what their problem was. Number one, they had an issue with the fact that he had married an Ethiopian woman. Very interesting things that I found about possibly who this woman was, Josephus and some works, that things that were written, that very possibly she was a woman that when he was back in Egypt as a prince and over the army, that they had fallen in love and she had been a princess that of one of the places that he had conquered. But then he had left her when he left and went to the desert. And so when he went back to Egypt, that he basically reclaimed her as his wife. Now, I don't know if that's true, but there were some really good sources that said that. So it was really interesting. Some people think that it was the Midian wife that he was married to, but they said that that was not probable because she was Midian. She wasn't Ethiopian, which is different. It's interesting. It says Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. So the fact that Miriam's name was mentioned first, and the fact that it's the way that it mentions it in the King James, it says spake, and the word spake, if you look in the Hebrew, I read this in a commentary, that is actually the feminine form of the word spake, which is why it is believed that Miriam was the leader of this insurrection against Moses. And that because of that, she is the one who is dealt the majority of the punishment. We'll see at the end of the chapter. They spoke, though, about his marriage to an Ethiopian woman. What's interesting is it was not forbidden for him to marry an Ethiopian woman like it was for them to marry Canaanites in the land. That was forbidden. God had told them, don't marry these Canaanite women, but that wasn't forbidden. And so it's just interesting. Times have changed a lot, and just even in my generation, and interracial marriages are viewed very different now than they were even 20 years ago. But it's vital that we see here that God did not have a problem. Apparently, he did not say, "You're right, he shouldn't have married that woman. She's of a different race." God, in fact, defended Moses and didn't say anything about it. So in scripture, of course, I am in an interracial marriage. Rick is Mexican, clearly. And it's interesting to me, we have generally not had any problem. Like, people don't generally have a problem with the fact that we're married and in different races. But that used to really be an issue. And I have told people, I have never seen in scripture where that is a problem. I have seen that biblically, an unbeliever is not to be married to a believer. But the truth is, people say, I've heard different things that just I'm not even going to repeat because they don't make sense. Essentially, we all have one father and mother. We all came from Adam and Eve, way back. And so I just don't see anywhere biblically where there is a problem with it. So if anybody asks you that, you can say this is an interesting passage dealing with that. Okay, so it says, they continued, they said, "Does God only speak to Moses? Doesn't God speak to us also?" And it says, God heard. Anytime you notice in the King James and in the New King James, anytime a word is in italics, it means that it was added by the translators to make it more understandable. But sometimes I'll just read it without it just to see. And it often doesn't really change the meaning. But it says, God heard. God heard what they were saying. That is something that we would all do well to remember that anytime we are talking, even if it's behind closed doors, God hears what we're saying. The truth is, God knows our thoughts before we speak the words. God knows the words in our mind. But I will admit ashamedly that I have had thoughts in my head that I was surprised and ashamed that I had those thoughts in my head. Thankfully, though, I repented before it came out of my mouth. And so it's a good thing if we deal with wrong thoughts and things that we know we shouldn't say or whatever. It is better if we deal with it between us and the Lord. We have less to repent over. You know, we may cause less problems, and we have less crow to eat, and we have less people to repent to. And I would rather, if at all possible, just keep the repentance between me and God. You know, as soon as a thought comes and I realize, oh, I really shouldn't have even had that thought, God, forgive me. And he does, because the truth is, he knew that it was there. He knows the root of it, whether it came from a deep-seated issue that I need to deal with, or whether it was a temptation, something that the enemy, you know, threw, or, you know, whatever it is. We can deal with those. So, verse 3 through 16, let's continue reading. Now, the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. That is a big statement that God, who inspired this, wrote about Moses, that he was more meek or more humble. The word meekness means, I've heard it defined as strength under control. It also means lowly. It means humility. And so Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. That wasn't an exaggeration. That was truth. That is what God said about him. And of course, we know Moses had been through his share of drama. You know, he had caused problems. He had had to run away. He had spent 40 years in the back of the desert after he thought that he was going to deliver God's people, and then ended up having to run away. I believe God really humbled him during that time. And he came back not even thinking that he could speak. But once he did, God used him to be a great leader, to accomplish great things by God's power. But it says that he was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. This is serious business right here, that God called the three of them to a meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle. I wonder at this point what Aaron and Miriam were thinking. Did they realize, oh, we are about to get in trouble? Or did they think God has realized that we need to be used just as our brother, and that God cannot only use Moses? Because in our pride, even when we're about to be reprimanded, if we are in real pride, we can still think that we're right until confronted with the truth. I mean, David, when confronted by the prophet and told a story that was supposed to prepare him to see what he had done was wrong, he got angry at the person in the story, not even realizing that the prophet was referring to him. He said, who is that man? And Nathan had to point his finger in his face probably and say, you are the man, because deception is a serious thing, and sin can really be deceptive. And so God was about to leave no doubt about how he felt about this situation. He called Aaron. So then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. One of the commentaries that I read said that when he stood in the door of the tabernacle, Aaron, because he was the high priest, typically was able to go into the tabernacle, into the Holy of Holies at once a year, into the to do priestly duties. But God stood in the doorway. And so just what that meant. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. That's another big statement for God to say about you. He is faithful in all of my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous. I believe that's because of what we talked about earlier. As white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. Now we know Miriam was quite a bit older than Moses, because when Moses was floated in the boat, because he was the Egyptian Pharaoh was trying to kill all the Hebrew boys, Miriam went, she was the one who followed the boat and went and told the princess, hey, let me go get a nurse for you. So she was quite a bit older. And so they were both older. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb." Leprosy was a very big deal back in those days. Now, today, it is actually curable. There are very few cases of it, but it is curable. But back then, it was contagious and a very serious, unclean disease. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "Please heal her, O God, I pray." Then the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days?" Now, this is interesting, because I don't know what Miriam's attitude was at this point. I don't know if maybe she still needed to get the fact that she was wrong, I think it was pretty clear. But God said she needs to deal with the consequences of what she has done. "Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may be received again." So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. And afterwards, the people moved from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. Now, what is very interesting for us to understand is we can look at this and think, man, God was really harsh. Like, that was really intense what he did to Miriam. But what we don't see sometimes is that God sees a root in our lives that if it is not dealt with strongly, it can produce a tree of problems for us. And it is God's mercy that he judges us down here so that we can get things straight while we're down here. And I believe even in this, God didn't cut Miriam off from forever, but he made a statement, and no doubt it did a real work in her life. I've mentioned Jude, because you just see it so much in toddlers. You have so many opportunities to train them and to deal with attitudes and to teach them how they're supposed to behave. But there are times that with him, I realize he needs to get back in line. He needs to realize here who is the authority, that he is not in charge, because naturally, we as selfish people come into the world thinking that we rule the world and that really everybody should serve us. And that's kind of how toddlers think until you teach them otherwise. And sometimes God sees those tendencies in us that he needs to humble us so that we don't destroy ourselves and other people. And so it really was the mercy of God here. So Moses was humble, verse 3, and he was faithful, and God defended him. Proverbs 16:32 says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." It's important that we understand how important this humility, this meekness thing, because a lot of people think that it is strong if you can speak your mind. A lot of people can speak their mind. That doesn't mean they're strong. In fact, many times the people that don't speak their minds are the ones who are strong, because it's a whole lot harder to hold your tongue at times than it is to say what you feel like saying. And it requires a lot more self-control not to speak than it does to just speak what you feel like saying. And so this verse, Proverbs 16:32, I'm going to read it again. "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." Then he who takes a city, defeats a city, that's pretty strong. So in order to need defense, you need to be spoken against. I just want to put that out there. We're talking tonight about the fact that God is our defender And you have to understand that God has called himself our defense and our defender because at some point in our life, we are going to be spoken against. There's going to be unfair treatment. There's going to be injustice. People are going to see us wrong and say things wrongfully about us. And we need to be prepared as to how to handle ourselves when it happens. Because how we handle ourselves and the situation will reveal our character. And when we respond in the wrong way, God can show us a flaw in our character that needs to be more submitted to him. The truth is, we cannot control everybody around us and make them treat us right. We only have control over ourselves. And we can control how we respond to situations, even unjust situations. And the more that we learn to lean on the Lord and let him defend us and learn to shut our mouths and wait on the Lord to speak, God can work that character in us that we so desperately need. We need to go to God for our defense. Now, it's interesting here that the Bible records what they said, what Miriam and Aaron said about Moses, what their problem was with him, and then it mentions Moses' character. Because often, like I said, the problems that we go through when people talk about us, when things are said about us, whether it comes through a physical attack or a spiritual attack, because the truth is we will deal with both. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and we will deal with people speaking against us, whether, I mean, from things that are as less, not less, because it feels like a really big deal when you're in an argument with somebody in your family. When you're in an argument with your husband or wife and you really want to defend yourself and say how right you are, and the Lord says, hush, let me deal. Let me defend you. That's hard, but that is life. And that strengthens our character, and it teaches us how to trust him. And it teaches us humility to not speak, because sometimes it's like, oh, but I could so win this argument right now. Oh, but I have so much to say. They need to hear my wisdom right now. And I'm telling you, if God is telling you to hush, then learn to hush. And you have to be listening in order to hear that. Because some people are like, well, I didn't hear God tell me to hush. Well, maybe he was trying to speak to you, but you were so busy talking that you couldn't hear him. We have to hush so that the Lord can tell us to hush sometimes, so that he can say, just shh. And so God stood then in the door. God knows our character, as I said, and he will reveal it through the circumstances in our lives. If we will let God defend us, God knows if we're right or wrong. He knows if we've been unjustly treated. And I have gone to God many times and told him about the unjust treatment that I am receiving, because the Holy Spirit is my counselor. And I like to talk to God about those kind of things and get it off my chest and explain to God. I don't tell God because I don't think that he knows. But the truth is, sometimes in my flesh, it makes me feel better because it feels like maybe he doesn't see what's going on, even though we know that he does. And so when we take it to the Lord can defend us. He can reveal our character and he can show us what to do about it. God was angry with them, and he went on to reveal his relationship with Moses. It's interesting that that was the defense that God gave. The defense that God gave of Moses was the relationship that he had with him. He said, I talked to him face to face. He has seen my form. And, you know, oh, man, what a privilege to have God Almighty say, I speak to him face to face, to have God defend him. And that often is how God defends us, is he shows people who we are because of our relationship with him. Because if he does it, God just knows how to do it in the right way. God was angry with Miriam and Aaron. They spoke about Moses, so God spoke about Moses. What's important to note, though, is that God didn't do this for Moses every time. Many, many times Moses had dealt with the complaints of the people. As the leader who was leading these people through the desert, and they would say, haven't you taken us out here in this wilderness to kill us? Basically, they're saying, you don't know what you're doing as a leader. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're taking us. You haven't provided well for us. We don't have any water. We don't have any food. We're tired of this manna. We want meat. You know, all of these things that the people dealt. So God didn't come down every time and shoot the people down. And as much as I would like it if God did that for me every time, the truth is, sometimes I just need to learn to be quiet, even if God doesn't come immediately to my defense. And sometimes God comes to our defense and we don't even realize it. Sometimes God reveals truth to people, and the truth is they might not be at the place where they can come to you and admit that he did. Even if they realize they're wrong, some people are not going to come back to you and say, hey, I realize that you were right and I was wrong. And we have to be willing to leave those things with God, because God sees. And ultimately, he is just, and he will bring justice. This had, though, to cut deep because it was from his family and because it was from fellow leaders. These were the people that led with Moses. They were in his family. They were his, probably part of his inner circle. And so it had to cut deep. Not only that they spoke against his wife. And that's something that, listen, I'm telling you, you got to be careful about speaking against people's family. Because my mom told me a long time ago, even if the person is wrong, if you come in and say something about them, a lot of times you'll get both people mad at you. Why? Because those bonds are strong. And so this had to have upset Moses because they were talking about his wife and the fact that he was wrong to have married her. And then initially went on to talk about how, well, God speaks to us too. But Moses didn't defend himself. It is a good idea to take our hurts to the Lord and ask him what to do about them. His response is different in different occasions, but when we're faithful to him, rest assured he notices and it will be revealed. The truth will be revealed. Psalm 103 verse 7 says, he, talking about God, made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The more that we walk with the Lord and the more that we learn to trust him, the more that we will see not just what he can do and what he has done, but who he is. And that is so much better. Our faithfulness to the Lord is building on the foundation of our surrender to him. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15. I want to read these verses. Because faithfulness to the Lord, trusting in him, doing things his way, that our foundation is built through our relationship with Jesus Christ. But then on that foundation is built works that will bring rewards to us that will last for eternity. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 says, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And this is why people that are doing works that their foundation is not laid in Jesus Christ, when they stand before God, people that are living for themselves and maybe they give money to charity and maybe they go build houses for people in Africa, it's not that those aren't good things. But if those works are not laid in the foundation of Jesus Christ, they're going to be burned up. Only the works that are done because of him and for him and through him are going to last. It continues. Now, if anyone builds on that foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. I've shared before that I have done in my lifetime of Christian service many things that I know will be burned up. Because I didn't do it for the Lord. I did it so that people would see how hard I was working or how dedicated I was. And, you know, I mean, honestly, that's something that I've struggled with at times. But my goal now, having learned that, is, God, I just want to do what you want me to do it for you and because of you and with your power and strength. Because those are the things that are going to last. If anyone's work, which he has built on, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. I believe this refers to rewards in heaven, that just as when somebody's house is burnt down and the person escapes, but they lose all of their stuff. I believe there will be people like that in heaven, that they will be in heaven, but they will have lost a lot of the rewards for the works that they did because they did them for the wrong reasons and not with the foundation of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's see. Miriam and Aaron's sin. Back to this, and we're going to wrap this up. Miriam and Aaron's sin not only affected them, but affected the whole camp. Because the camp didn't move forward for 7 days because they were waiting on Miriam to come back into the camp. We need to be careful because our actions will have multiple consequences. And I don't want to keep anybody from going forward because of my actions or the consequences that I'm facing. If, however, we are faithful, the Lord will defend and reward us. Proverbs 14:26 says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." Psalm 91:14-15 says, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore," this is talking about because the person has set their love upon the Lord, "therefore will I, God, will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." Our job is to be faithful. And we are faithful by being obedient to what God has told us to do. Whether it's to keep walking, whether it's to be quiet, whether it's to speak, whatever God is telling us to do. Psalm 56, 59, 16, and 17. I want to end with these verses. It says, "But I will sing of your power. Yea, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto you, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy." I'm telling you, as we learn to let him be our defender, which it is hard. I've shared before about, I used to get so excited when I would read the story about how Jehoshaphat, God told him, "You're not going to have to fight in this battle." And I used to think, man, that is so cool to not have to fight, until God told me not to fight in a battle. And I realized, oh my goodness, it was so hard not to fight. Because I wanted to fight. I need to be involved in this. I need to have my hands in this. I have things to say. I have things to accomplish here. Like, they need my wisdom and I need to respond. And it was so much harder than I thought to just let God fight my battles. But man, the strength of relationship that is forged through that. Because when we learn to let him defend us, and when we, instead of looking at ourselves or looking at the people, continually learn to look at God, it strengthens our relationship between us and him. It teaches us to trust. It causes us to grow in patience and in understanding and in the grace and knowledge. We see that Jesus did that throughout his lifetime, all the way to the end when the Bible says he was like a sheep to the slaughter. Don't you know that Jesus could have quoted so many scriptures when he was dealing with Pilate, when he was dealing with, he could have told the Sanhedrin all the things that they were doing wrong and all of the reasons why he was the Messiah, and yet it wasn't the time. And so he went as a sheep to the slaughter. He kept his mouth closed because that's what God had spoken. And the people were not going to hear it anyway. All of that wisdom would have been wasted on them, and God knew it. So he was obedient to the Father to be quiet. So I want us to end with this song. I love this song, and it's the original one was written by Rita Springer. This one is sung by Francesca Battistelli. But I just want to invite you, as this song plays, if there are areas that you know, and I'm telling you, if you can't think of any right now, just wait. You have an opportunity to let the Lord be your defender. When you face conflict, because as I said, in order for God to defend, we have to be spoken against. And whether that is in a tiff in your family or in a serious case of injustice that you're dealing with, whatever it is, learn to ask the Lord. Go to the Lord with your hurts and say, "Lord, how do I respond here?" Because sometimes God will tell you to speak up. Matthew 18, in fact, we studied that a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night. If your brother sins against you, go to him. That is scripture. Yeah, there are other times where God says to be still and be quiet. So I've thought sometimes, God, how do I know, like, whenever these scriptures that say that God will do these things, that's why the word is living. That's why we need to get a word for what God is saying to me to do in this situation. Because God might say to be quiet, or he might say to speak up. And we need to let him lead us. So as this song plays, just present yourself to the Lord. Allow God, invite God to be your defender, and ask him to help you to let him do it.